NZ On Air Music presents Long Player.
Just yesterday, Auckland's long distance runner released their second EP, the title of which is No Escape. Simon Oswald, who you may recognise from BFM's own Hard, Fast and Heavy show, came up to have a chat with me in the studio about it. And just to give you a bit of setup, usually when someone comes into the studio and I'm getting ready to record our interview and everything, I try and get them chatting for a bit so I can make sure all the levels are right before we get into it. So that's where we start this piece.
Could you just talk to me about like what you ate for breakfast or something?
So for breakfast, I didn't have anything, but I did feed my cat.
I'm glad to hear that.
Her name's Kevin. Kevin is very vocal in the mornings. And I have a game I play with Kevin when we do that. If you have a cat, I recommend it as well. I say boom, boom, boom. Let me hear you say wayo. And they go meow. And it's really funny. My name's Simon, and I scream at all my friends at the front of the when we play. So that's what I do. I can't actually play any instruments, but I know what I like. the rest of the people in the band is Jono Glenday plays guitar. Jono played guitar with me in Parents, which was my band before. We got Callum on second guitar, who was in Seer, and Stephen on bass, who is in Human Resource.
Yep.
And we also have Sam playing the drums, who was in, I forget. Fuck.
Sam's going to be angry.
Oh, yeah, Sam's going to be mad. He was in the... Oh, okay. I'm going to be in
You know what?
Trouble.
If you remember it, I'll cut it in.
All right, cut it in.
So this is kind of a bit of a basic question, but I think it's an important one when we... looking at genres and subgenres, especially in the hard realm of hardcore,
yeah,
which I've already admitted I'm no specialist in whatsoever. So how do you describe the music that Long Distance Runner plays?
Well, normally when I talk to someone about it, like depending on the person and their grasp of alternative music. So some people, I was talking to a lady who is like printing off, I was at the printing place today, printing inserts, and she was printing inserts for church. And she was asking me, I was like, what I was doing. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm playing in a band and all this kind of stuff. And she's like, what kind of music? And I said, it's rock. It's rock music with guitars. Other people, I kind of say, you know, it's fast and heavy and we write short songs and I shout at everyone and it's really fun. And other times it's just like, yeah, fast and screamy, but I don't know if you're going to get technical about it. Like, I say it's that post-hardcore, scrams or like screamo kind of stuff, because it's screaming, but very punk orientated. It's not metal. I don't feel like it. Well, other people might feel it is, but I feel it's more punk than metal and a bit more indie than those kind of things as well. And like,
are there any like sonic touchstones you can throw out that people might be able to relate to?
So bands like Orchid or, but you know, I'm very personally influenced by bands like Swing Kids and the way they sing and the way they bring their lyrics through. I've always been influenced by bands like Fugazi as well. Like having, you know, like, it's not just heavy. I want to have slow bits to make the fast bits faster and quiet bits to make the loud bits louder.
Yeah, that's definitely a hallmark of your sound. There's a lot of changes in that. We can talk about that a bit later as well when we look at the different songs. But I think with No Escape, which is your second release as Long Distance Runner, there seems to be a thematic string tying everything together.
Yeah, so like, you know, it's getting quite hard to write lyrics sometimes, and I went for a more philosophical, intrinsic kind of look at myself, you know, because I'm getting older, and you know, you think about things like, it's kind of cliche to sing about death, but for me, like, you know, I'm getting older, and I think about, you know, actually I am getting older, and death is inevitability that's coming, so I explore things like death and time and the way it affects us, and then just other things like who we are and who our ideal self is and all those kind of things and what makes us who we are? Is it the experience or is it the choices we make and things like that? So I kind of like to explore those kind of things. And songs like No Escape, it's that thing. It's you're not going to escape. These are the rules and this is how it works. Mm. And you have to kind of play along to an extent.
It's also tied together with that album cover, which is a beautiful piece of artwork. Who did that?
So Jono found that, and it's from like quite an old etching. I can't remember exactly when. I'm gonna guess around the 17th century or something like that. And it's actually a detail from a larger piece, and right. He's kind of manipulated it and put that cool yellow color through it.
Mm. So to describe it a little bit, it's your classic skeleton as the Grim Reaper.
Playing a violin, yeah.
Yeah, instead of holding a sickle, he's playing violin on a couple of leg bones or something like that.
Yeah, I think as well, like, it's kind of cool with imagery, but as well as, like, the way with the yellow and stuff like that, it's kind of a bit distorted, so you kind of have to look really close at it to see what it is.
Yeah, like with etchings of that style, sort of other details emerge, don't they? I noticed there's a mask hanging off his elbow.
Yeah, and there's a little guy coming out of a door and stuff on the side. It's just like, it's like a little bit of Where's Wally to it all. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about where the 7-inch was recorded in Bagnall Hill. Where's that?
So that's just like between Narrawahia and Hamilton, Tapu, I think is the name of the area. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of cool. We went out with Adam, who is the drummer in Hedge Fund Trader, who's mm-hmm. playing with us. And we've played quite a few shows with them, and they're lots of fun. And he wanted to record us, and I was happy for him to record us. He's really cool. And we went out to this farm in the middle of nowhere, and it was really cool. And we'd planned to record over 2 days. But by the time we set up, and then we just did it, and it was all over in 24 hours, and it was really cool like that. But, like, great farm, and, there's kids running around. They had, like, a skateboard half pipe outside and cool. stuff like that. And I was just like, man, you kids are living the dream. You don't know it. But you are, yeah.
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 I want to delve a little bit into the songs. So a 7-inch might normally have 2 or maybe 4 songs, but because of the length of your songs, you've managed to squeeze 6 on there. It kicks off with The Downcast, mm-hmm. which is a bit of a slow builder.
Yeah, well, we normally play that beginning of the set as well, and, mm-hmm. and like we like to build it up, I had someone talk to me about it once, and they're like, it's kind of like a little roller coaster, like you got that gentle incline. So it's nice to have those build outs before it gets heavy. Kind of sets the pace. Mm. Well, builds the pace, if you like. Right.
That song changes at least 5 times, I think, as well. As a band, is it hard to execute the changes when you're playing together?
That's what band practice is for, I guess. Like, we just practice and practice and practice, and it drives them all crazy, I think, as well, because I can be a bit mean about, we practice every Monday. And, and that's what makes it good, I think, is because there is so many changes and it is so fast as well. You have to be tight.
lucky for me and for people who buy the album, you included liner notes with the lyrics too. So
yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about The Downcast?
So The Downcast, I wrote when Stephen joined the band. So Stephen works as a union lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking a lot about that kind of stuff, like his role as a union lawyer, helping negotiate for people in unions. And I think, you know, so it's about, you know, the workers and, you know, and the powers that be having control over us. So that's kind of what I was going for with that kind of song.
The next song on the record is Eulogy.
Yeah.
Which launches straight into action.
Yeah. We don't bring it to muck around, you know.
How do you feel about this song after everything that happened in Christchurch?
Well, I wrote Eulogy about suicide.
Mm.
And in regards to Christchurch, well, I like to think of it like I wrote the song as a cathartic thing for myself. And, you know, I think it's good to have those kind of things. And whether it being hanging out with your friends or those kind of things, and being together and being sad or being angry, for me, I put those kind of things into lyrics, and I was very sad, and there was a lot of people, when I wrote that song, there was quite a few people in the community who committed suicide, and you could see a lot of people were hurting, and for me, I was hurting when it first happened to one of my close friends, and so I expressed it this way, and then by expressing it that way, I felt like I could emotionally put it there into this music, so it didn't affect me as much day to day. But every time I sing it, I think about those people, and it, you know, and it's good to do those kind of things. I think, like in a kind of a spiritual and mental way, is like a healthy kind of thing to do. And you know, I've been thinking about Christchurch, and I've written songs about racism and Islamophobia before, and you know, I think I'll definitely write something again, because it is, for me, it's this great way of expressing these things, and you know, help with the grieving and, you know, healing process of it all.
I'd just like to read a section of the lyrics from that song.
We
cannot deny, we cannot accept. We will not forget the pain of your loss, the stain on our pride, the heartache, the light that we lost.
Yeah.
So it's pretty poignant stuff.
Yeah, so, yeah, because you do feel guilt in those kind of situations. You know, oh, if only I had called them that day. I had no idea, but if I just miraculously could travel back in time and call as well. I don't know. When you think about what could have, would have, should have kind of things. But, you know, that's the kind of things that weighs on you when you are going through those kind of grieving processes. I've got a lot of experience in these kind of things. I've had a lot of friends who've committed suicide and friends who've been suicidal. And for me, I it sounds kind of weird, but I've almost like streamlined my grieving process. And when I was writing this, I was meeting a lot of people who were young people who were friends with this person.
Mm.
And you could see that they didn't have a process and they didn't have a way of grieving. And yeah, and I was like trying to express those things like guilt and the shame of it all. Yeah.
Thanks for talking about that. I know it's not easy stuff.
It's okay.
The next song on the record is The First Lie, which I think has a great energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got really like pumped up drumming and cool chord changes.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bit like more poppy.
Yeah, I think they refer to it as like the rest of the guys in the band, like, which one's this one? Oh, the pop song, the poppy one. I think as well, like what you're talking about, like without the lyrics, like people don't really understand what the songs are about. And I feel like that's even sometimes it's the way with my band. They don't know what the songs are about truly until I finally pass on the lyrics to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So The First Lie is an interesting one because I was thinking about with that song, I was trying to think about what makes us and the idea of our intrinsic self that we keep from everyone else and where it begins. I was watching this thing about it and they're talking about how a child gets itself, its inner self, when it tells its lie for the first time. And when it tells its lie to its, because before that, you know, the parents are like these God creatures who know everything and control everything in your life as a child. And then when you tell your first lie to your mother or your father, and then you get away with it, you've got something personal and secret for yourself. And that begins the intrinsic self. That's the self that is inside us. And, you know, that's our mind thinking way. And then we kind of, we put up these masks of who we want people to think we are and how we act in a certain, you know, like the filter almost.
Mm.
And so that the first lie is about that. It's about the creation of this intrinsic thing, which some people would call the soul.
The sort of tension building in that song too, and then there's that pause and then almost like a roar.
It's fun to roar.
I've asked you this before when about looking after your voice, you know, after performing live, but yeah, what about when you're recording in the studio? Because I'm imagining you do several takes.
Yeah, it definitely gets harder and harder as you're doing it, and my voice gets huskier and huskier. And so like when we recorded this, there was certain points that I wanted to do first where my voice was fresh and where I can hit higher notes and things like that. So we did it through, and then I did like the bits that wanted to be more husky and I did later on.
Right.
So I kind of planned it out that way a bit. Like I kind of had like this little roadmap to how I wanted to record. Cause I've done it in the past where, you know, you're doing it and you blow out your voice in the first couple of takes and then like you just end up with a super husky record the whole way through it. And it was, yeah, it's kind of, this time I was trying to be more controlled with that kind of thing and just be like, okay, this is this one, and I'm going to do, I need to jump ahead to this song number 14 or whatever, and I'm just going to do a scream here and here, and then we're going to come back and do it later.
Yeah, the benefit of experience.
Yeah, it helps. It helps, definitely.
Okay, the next song is Black Mirror, and I'm going to ask the obvious question.
Yeah.
You know what the question is?
Is it about phones?
No, that's a better question.
Because that's where Black Mirror comes from. It's, you know, it's the screen.
Yeah, right.
With nothing on. It's a black mirror. Okay. And you're basically looking at yourself. So, yeah, and it was about, like, how we get caught into these, like, little bubbles of influence. And it's all the people we agree with and all that kind of stuff. But it's also, like, that it distracts us from what's actually going on. And I was kind of exploring that kind of thing where sometimes, especially with like politics, we can get really caught up on one specific idea and people argue about it. Mm. There's lots of other things happening at the same time that are actually in a way more important, and they're going to affect our lives for a long time. And so there's that kind of thing about, you know, we're distracted by these things, and we're distracted by our phone, and it pulls us in. Yeah. So that's kind of what I wanted to go with Black Mirror. And like, I know when I was naming it, I was like, oh, people are going to think of the TV show. And then I was like, oh, well, I'll just do this because the TV show is named after the looking at the screen of your phone.
See, you taught me something. I feel like I'm learning a lot today. I really am. Close out the record with the title track No Escape.
Yeah,
which to me is like the most metal song on the record.
It's actually one of our older songs, and we recorded it when we did our last EP, but it just didn't sound right, so we had to go back and do it again. And it's one of those songs we have it towards the end of our set and we finish off with, and yeah, so we just had to put it in there. And it is this nice heavy song. And it's kind of like a nice little breather before it starts for me. And I'm like, all right, here it comes. No, yeah, you just... And saying no is so fun to say as well.
There was Simon Oswald talking to me about No Escape, the new 7-inch from Long Distance Runner, printed on beautiful clear vinyl. You can order that, of course, from their Bandcamp page, Long Distance Runner NZ, in store at all good record stores, flying out, etc. Yeah, get amongst.
That was Long Player. Thanks, NZ On Air Music.